Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My friends over at Exodus are proud and extremely excited to release the much-anticipated Lyft 4K Ultra. This new standard camera is anything but standard. The Lyft 4K Ultra was created with elite trail cam users in mind. Dedicated dual image sensors allows for breathtaking photos and video quality by optimizing hardware capabilities for both day and night conditions. The native size 14 megapixel daylight dedicated image sensor is the largest to ever be used, providing astonishing photos and the best video quality to ever come from a trail camera. The native size 2 megapixel nighttime dedicated image sensor carries the largest pixel size to ever be used. Combined with the match lens, maximize light gathering capabilities for remarkable no glow image and video. The all new 2S2P power system leverages rechargeable 18650 cells that boost superior battery life while reducing the overall expense of running the trail camera throughout its lifespan. With a runtime of over 540 minutes of 4K video, you'll enjoy months of use from a single charge or easily a full season in photo mode. The Lyft 4K housing was created with effortless setup in mind, yielding a 2-inch no-glow internal LCD screen, allows for pinpoint setup and programming ease on those sunny days in the field. A built-in cable tunnel allows for device security and protection against SD card tampering and theft. The Lyft series has been the cornerstone for Exodus since their inception almost 9 years ago, and you can experience the next generation of their flagship standard camera right now. Use the code XYZ4K at checkout to save $50 while supplies last. Support the podcast and support our friends at Exodus, and do yourself a favor and lock in the most advanced and durable camera the world has to offer. Go to ExodusOutdoorGear.com. Code XYZ4K to save $50 while supplies last. Now let's talk about Osseo Gear. It's a great option for whitetail hunters. They develop a premium line of bow hunting gear that will rival any other clothing on the market in quality. Plus, you got a lifetime warranty on anything you buy from Osseo, which is pretty nice. They have a super unique camo pattern and great technology in their garments to keep you comfortable in the stand. So visit AssioGear.com. Get you some premium hunting clothing. Gotta talk to you about Stealth Outdoors, makers of Stealth Strips. Stealth Strips really are a product that any hunter, whether you're a weekend warrior or a guy that hunts almost every day, really needs to take advantage of. Stuff absolutely deadens your gear to make it essentially noise free. If you haven't checked out Stealth Strips yet, stop buying all the other crappy alternatives like the hockey tape and any other stuff you're trying to use to silence your gear. Get the good stuff. Get Stealth Strips. Visit StealthOutdoors.com. Pick you up with Stealth Strips. All my partners are linked in the description below. Go check them out.
What's up, YouTube? We're kind of still organizing right now. Oh, man. How's everybody doing tonight? We are, if I'm looking to the left, because my computer is right here, kind of controlling everything. We didn't do a show last night because my buddy Zank's coming down. Came down today, yeah.
Hello.
Today was a long day.
Long day. A lot of driving.
For you, yeah.
A lot of crawling.
Zank, babe, kick your thing up. Babe, get comfortable. Zank called me I don't know, about a month ago and said he wanted to learn how to install a water heater. He thought he'd bring one. No, water softener.
Yeah. I want to learn.
Thought he'd bring one down to my house. Let me show him how to install it.
Figured my first one should be somewhere I live very far away.
Yeah. Anyway, and then Maddie's going to join us tonight because we usually, whenever the guys from Wisconsin, as Huck would call you, are down, this is what we usually do, sit around and talk for hours on end at night about life in general. Uh-oh. Also, Huck will be making appearances throughout the show.
More than likely.
Yeah, he's wanting to watch something, and I don't know what he's up to. You can go help him if he needs it.
I don't know
what
he's doing.
Hank's also here.
Hank is here. You guys probably don't know Hank very well. He doesn't make too many appearances. Say something, Hank. He's kind of a grumpy old poodle dog and doesn't get along with others very well. But he's old and we've had him forever, so.
He's a sweet dog.
Yep. Me and Zank, the reason Zank's really down here, he did help me install a water softener at my house today. And we end up, I'm so glad I went underneath the house yesterday to look at everything. I should have done it earlier, but I had a massive leak underneath my house. Like you saw it, it was squirting up into our baseboards and everything else. But
yeah, that needed attention.
Yeah. I think
I had the best luck with water.
Oh my gosh, no. Well, the house is, I don't feel like it's that old, but it is. It was built in 78. It was built in 70. I think it was built in 72 and it burned down actually. And they rebuilt in 78.
Something like that.
But it's just one of those things where everything kind of breaks and you fix it and then you're good for a while again.
Yeah.
Until something else breaks.
Yeah.
You got a pretty new house, don't you, Zank? It's not super old, is it?
96. My house was built, so it's...
Yeah, it's getting old.
You know?
Newer than I am.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, new, I got new windows. A lot of stuff. I got a new furnace this last year, new windows, a couple patio doors.
Yeah.
Garage doors.
We got to...
Never ends, you know?
Well, yeah, we got a new... We got to get a new roof at some point in time, next few years.
I'm busy for that one.
Yeah, no. We're going to go metal, I think, this time.
Yeah. We'll have someone put it on, I'm sure.
How do you feel about that?
I'm a big fan of the metal roofs if the price makes sense. You know, they're usually double the cost, but I would definitely consider getting one if the math worked and you planned on staying here.
Yeah.
You know, you got to consider those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the real reason Zank came down, the water softener thing was kind of a like a spur of the moment type deal.
It was a good bonding time.
Yeah. Me and Zank are going to run we're going to call it a ultra marathon. We're going to go over 26.2 miles. We're going to try at least. Now we'll do it.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. So we're going to go run the Adventure Hiking Trail tomorrow, which is in Cordon, Indiana. It's like an hour and 20 minutes south of here. Now, it's not an organized event or anything. It's just me and him doing something together.
Right. Very unorganized.
Very unorganized. Like, we haven't even thought about it even right now. We went to Walmart and bought some snacks. But Zank's he's a pro, compared to me at least.
Yeah.
This will be the farthest I've ever ran in one day. But you'll run like in the high teens pretty often, won't you?
I try to at least do one longer run a month. So that'd be, I'd say like over a half marathon.
Yeah.
And then I did a 50K last Saturday. So
yeah,
I've been doing that a while. You know, I've been in the running thing quite a while, 10 plus years on the distance. So
what made you get into it? I never really asked you that, I guess.
Well, I did cross country in high school, and when I was in the service, you do a lot of running. And then a guy I worked with, he would run the trails in my area, and he asked me after work if I want to run sometime, and he kind of introduced me to the trails in my area. And you know, we would run, and whoever we'd take turns buying a six pack of beer. So we'd run, and then we would each have two beers. And then we would just take, we do that once a week. And then, well, I don't really drink much now, but that's just, it was like a social thing. And then you kind of start to pull in friends that run trails. And I don't like to run on the roads at all. I like to run out in the woods. It's hard
once you do.
Yeah.
Trails.
So then, you know, now I have many friends that run trails and run, we do a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just kind of keep pushing our limits all the time.
Did you do a 100 miler last year?
No.
It was 100 or?
200 Ks.
200 Ks. How many miles is that?
Like 63.
Oh, okay.
I did one in winter, like in January, first week of January last year. It wasn't that cold either. And then I went to Pennsylvania. It's a run called Ironstone. 100K.
What was it like? Like, what did you, I guess, can you like walk through the whole race? Not in detail, but just like feelings and.
Well, you're going to go through a lot of emotion. I think that's the thing people don't really understand about themselves or something like that. You're going to go through periods of pain, knee pain, foot pain, headaches, and it will pass, you know. So it's just a series of ups and downs, you know. The beginnings are always spirited and you're excited and you're running with the people and you're executing your plan, and then that's going to fall apart at some point. And, you know, someone's not going to feel good or have stomach issues, and someone's going to feel good, and you either, you'll break apart sometimes or you'll find someone else to run with. Because at an event, most of the people are extremely friendly, and it's not, I'd say the trail running community isn't about winning. It's about finishing, everybody, you know, and getting everyone getting there. And if you got to, you know, take 10 minutes to dig some ibuprofen out of your pack for somebody, you gladly do it, you know, and help them get back into it. So, but you definitely learn that your body can handle a lot more than you think. And you're not running the whole time. You know?
That's a misconception I had.
It's like, you're not running for 7, 8, 10, 12 hours. Usually you run the easy, once you're tired, and you'd run the easy stuff. So anything flat or downhill run, and then any of the climbs, you're basically just walking them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause also, even up to like last week, cause I ran 8 miles, 10 miles, 12 miles just to get some longer runs in. I never ran over 12 miles, but I was like the other day I was talking to Zach, like, man, I ran 4 miles at that 9 minute pace in the hills here in Indiana, not on the road, which I thought was good, but I was scared to death. I'm like, I was beat, like running up the hills, you know, the whole time and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with you. He goes, well, I'm not going to run the hills. Like, we'll walk going up hills. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes you feel like a lot better. Cause at first I'm like, man,
well, you could definitely do that then. Cause we almost did that trail. Like,
yeah. Me and Maddie have done this
hiking, not running
before this loop, but that was like probably back 2018.
6 years ago.
Yeah. 2018 probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember it being pretty technical though, like pretty up and down.
I was reading online that it's pretty intense trail. I don't honestly remember. I remember it being not too bad, but I'm sure it was worse than I remember.
I also carried camping gear and stuff with us whenever we went.
Right.
On my back.
Yeah. You bringing that tomorrow?
No. We actually probably walked that day that we went down there. We probably walked more miles than
the trail was
because we lost Hank.
Yeah.
And we spent probably, I mean, 6 hours looking for him, walking around looking for him, maybe more until it got dark.
Yeah.
But so I guess I've been more than 12 miles for sure. I've definitely been more than 12 miles walking in a day,
hiking,
but not running.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I think I'm really excited to get into this because I don't like running, but I like the way I feel. Okay. I don't like my first 2 miles of running. I hate it. Yeah. Like, I feel like probably after about a quarter mile to about a mile and a half, I feel awful. Like, I'm like, why am I doing this? I hate this. I can't breathe. And then like I hit a stride and I can just go forever then. And I like that feeling of, every time I do it, the starting off, I'm like, this is going to suck. This is going to suck. And then once I get through the suck, I enjoy it. And I like, yeah. It like makes my day. Every time I run, it like makes my day. Like you do something that sucks for a little bit to get a reward at the end. And I don't know. It's just like a little bitty lesson every day that I run. I don't run every day. I wish I could. I just don't have, you know, the time usually to do it. Mm. So that's why I hate running, but I also like it at the same time.
Yeah.
But you like it, right, Zank? Like you enjoy it.
Yeah. I could consider it like my therapy. I like, yeah. You know, just get in the middle of nowhere by myself or with a friend and have a nice discussion or just process information. And I need it. You know, that's the truth. I need it.
Well, and the trail thing. So I was just running on the road the first of the year, and that was a little bit stressful just because of the traffic and stuff.
Yeah.
And like the amount of people you see just looking down at their phones. And just pass you by, like not even slowing down or anything, you know, kind of stressful. But the trail thing, I got stressed at that because I thought I was gonna be too slow to keep up with you, kind of thing.
I'm slow.
We'll see tomorrow. But after I ran it and I realized, okay, I can walk this. And when you told me that 9-minute pace was fast, I was like, okay, cool. Well, I can slow it down then, you know, and I'll be all right and I don't know. As long as you don't, outside of a major injury, like you can suffer through 20 miles, I would think. 27 miles.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to suffer a little bit. That's part of the enjoyment, yeah. You know. When
you suffer down. Running 12 miles, though.
Right. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some days all the miles are a struggle. You just don't have it that day.
But yeah.
I don't know. I go through the same thing as you. I don't necessarily think this sucks. This sucks the beginning, but it takes a while to get your breathing aligned with your pace. And
maybe that's what it is.
And that kind of thing, your body, I think you're kind of telling your body, like, we're doing this, so you better get in line, you know, and get used to it. That's pretty normal from what I know. So, but you know, it's coming.
After you ran that 60 some mile race, how long did it take you to recover from that?
Well, we drove home. My friend Eric and I drove home. I waited for him to finish. We went back to hotel. Well, obviously showered, ate, slept quite a while. We went out for like, I don't know if it was breakfast or lunch, because that took a long time. That was like 20 hours. And drove home. And yeah, you would have laughed watching us walk around.
You couldn't hardly.
Your feet. My feet were pretty trashed. And that's the thing, like the bottoms of your feet. If you take good care of your feet and don't get blisters, your feet are still going to be sore.
Yeah.
Legs are sore. I mean, I don't think it's healthy overall to do that sort of thing, like for your body, but for your mind, I think it's incredible. But I would say it's probably a good 5-6 days before the thing is, you're not like, you know, there's a lot of stuff with trail running. Like you're not like going to the bathroom and stuff, you know, like when you run that long, your whole, like, I want to say your guts kind of get a little messed up.
And you
can't
kinda
take in as many calories as you're doing. And
you're probably eating some stuff that you're not used to eating or drinking some.
You kind of turn into a raccoon a little bit.
Yeah. I can imagine.
It's hard to stay disciplined. I tend to eat like a low carb kind of thing. And when you go to those aid stations, if there are any, it's pretty tough to hold back from a handful of chips or like a shot of Coca-Cola. You know, that some of that high sugar stuff really sucks you in and gives you some energy. And ginger ale is a popular thing. The ginger is nice on your stomach if you have stomach problems. And popsicles, watermelon, there's so many good things. That's another thing with trail running is a lot of people run, they can eat whatever they want. Yeah. You know, it's not into like doing goos and stuff. Yeah. Like those things are nasty to me.
And a lot of people say they hurt your stomach anyway.
To me, that's trash.
Like, yeah.
If you want to puke.
Yeah. I watched a documentary and then listened to a podcast about the Cocodona 250.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a 250 mile race. Mm-hmm. The one guy said that he wasn't right for 6 months after that. Like he said, it was his leg. I mean, just things weren't right for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't know if he would do, I mean, it seemed like he's done with that kind of thing.
I mean, that's extreme, you know, that's, that's long for long.
Yeah. Oh, I think he said that, you know, obviously there's the physical part of that that's tough, but he said the hardest part was like at mile, like he was at like mile 116 or something like that. And his brother, like people run with you in circuits a little bit, you know,
yeah,
you,
and crewing or pacing,
yeah, yeah, he was just like breaking down at my like 116 and was like, I can't even fathom that I am not even halfway done with this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, his brother had in the podcast, his brother was on there and they had to kind of, he's like, yeah, I had to talk you out, like talk you like, okay, let's just try to go one more mile and then let's go one more mile. And then it's they went from being like, let's get to the next aid station to like at the end, he was like, I'm going to try to get to that telephone pole.
Yeah.
And kind of break it up into chunks, which dude, that's like anything in life, really. I mean, that's how you accomplish anything is little chunks. And so many people don't start and like that 250 mile race or even a 63 mile race, it might as well be 200, you know, that might as well be 250 miles to most people. You know, that's the hard part is like for most people is like committing to doing something like that.
Right. Yeah. If it's so hard it's scary. To start, still hard to even think about doing it that you never start.
Right.
No, because you're gonna fail at that. Like if you don't commit to it and train, like it's not gonna go well. Like I expect like a 250 mile race, I think people that sign up for that probably have some experience doing those things. Like
most of them have a prerequisite, you know, when you get to the
more
than I'd say like a 50K, you go to like a 50 mile or 100K, they will actually, if you, there's a site called, what is it? My Ultra Sign Up.
Yeah.
You know, you could type me in there and see every race I've done and all that. Like,
so you got to have like some kind of a record,
like a little bit of a pedigree, you know, because you're a liability. Like some of the times you're going,
people die in those
13,
things.
15 miles without aid or seeing a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't just like,
yeah, I'm pretty, I mean, I think people have died in some of those big races like that.
Yeah. Sasquatch.
So yeah. That's what I had to have been.
Well, you do hallucinate, you know, like when you're that exhausted.
Yeah.
There's amazing stories of
hallucinations. Oh, yeah.
My friend Matt Lee, just a savage runner. He talked about some, I haven't really had too many. Oh, I have one good hallucination kind of story, but 2 years ago, I went to Utah with my friend Matt and Eric, and we ran Tusher's Mountain Ultra. And we camped, me and Eric and his dad camped right on the mountain, just right next to the race. And I finished, and I like literally laid everything on the line. I was going through a lot of personal stuff. And I thought someone was like chasing me. I thought someone was going to pass me in the last 2 miles.
So that's how you felt?
Yes. Oh, I could hear them. You know, it's pitch black.
It was as real as...
There was somebody there, but they weren't as close as I thought. But in my head, I was like, no one's passing me at this point. And you're like in the mountains, pitch black, no one, you know, nothing out there. And so I was like really giving it. Well, I got back, finished. I went to look for the tent, and I'm like, tent's not there. It's gone. I thought maybe my friend's dad got mad and just like left.
Yeah.
So I saw my friend Matt Lee's son. And I asked him, I said, Corey, I don't know what to do. Like, the tent's not here.
Yeah.
I'm like, all my clothes, I need to change clothes. And, and he talked to his grandpa, which is Matt Lee's dad, who was there. They had like an Airbnb or something. And he went and he asked if I could stay with them. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm going to go look one more time. It was there the whole time. So it just was like so out of it.
Oh, yeah, he's so exhausted.
So out of it.
Well, during this documentary, I can't remember what it's called. You remember what it's called, Dave? That documentary on
but it's
3 of 7.
It's Chad.
I saw
Chad
it
Wright.
Too, yeah.
I know there's like, he's at an aid station and his, I don't know, his brother, after you've ran like 200 miles, you're not really running anymore. It's more of a gallop, you know,
like
or a fast walk. And of course, Chad says when you lay down, like there's always consequence for everything you do in those. He's like, you lay down and you maybe take a 10 minute nap, and he's like, mentally you feel better, but you get so stiff in that 10 minutes that you can't hardly move. And he said, you know, he got up and he was like, he has trekking poles and he was trying to get moving again. And like one of his guy that was with him, named Chili, said something like, you know, if you run faster, we'd get over, you know, get this over with. And he like started laughing real loud and said something about a guitar string. Like he's like, yeah, like, the dang on guitar strings. Like, they're all from the South. And they were just like, what'd he say? You know? And then later on, he's like, yeah, when I was running, I was hallucinating that I was walking on top of guitar strings and it was playing like, you know, the guitar while he was running. Like, that's a pretty extreme version of hallucination.
Right. Yeah. It's it's crazy what's actually going on, like, biologically.
Yeah.
You know, when you're.
What is? I mean, I guess it's just your.
I think you're just starved for calories, maybe.
Yeah. Probably partially dehydration. And
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Is there any other problems with that, like peeing blood or anything like that from the dehydration in your kidneys?
I haven't peed blood, but it's definitely like hurt to urinate,
yeah.
You know, and then afterwards, but I just was running with a guy last weekend. His name's John. He said he actually, it was a marathon he was doing, but he was trying to hit a certain time and he passed out like right before the finish. And one of his friends kind of like threw him in a cart and pushed him across the finish. He woke up in the ER and had like heat exhaustion. And
What time was he trying to break that? Three hours?
He was trying to keep with a 7 minute mile pace.
So that's not
26.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, that's, and hot summer day.
Yeah.
Either way, he laid it all on a line and he really, you know, heat exhaustion is nothing to play with.
Like, yeah. No.
Die, fall out quick.
Yeah.
But he's still with us, still running. He's a stud.
Whenever you sign up for like a race like that, what do you like to get out of it? Or what do you usually get out of something like that? I think.
Like the kind of the cycle I'm in now is, I like to go with at least one friend and, we try to go somewhere new, somewhere cool. So we went West Coast, we went East Coast this year. We're going to New Mexico. Just different experiences. Yeah. We always try to take in some of the culture, food. We're pretty social guys in the right atmosphere. We'll go out, hang out.
Yeah.
The community is just wonderful. You know, once everybody's so friendly. And
yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I don't know how to say this. I guess it's not offensive or anything, but like there's a certain type of people that are going to do that, you know, and they're typically not like the type of person that is, to put your body through that and your mind through that. Like it's not really a competition. I could see it's more of a competition for yourself.
Yeah. There's not like a lot of big egos, you know what I mean? Like I've never met anyone. I mean, I've always, you know, there's always some people that are
sure
mean or whatever, but that are like mad you're at an event because you might beat them or you know. I'm never worried about that. I'm usually pretty far in the back anyway, but it just, like you said, there is a certain type of people, there's a certain type of person that absolutely won't be there, to put it that way.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of these like, say you were running and someone had a nice crew at a road crossing or whatever, people, even if you don't even know them, people, they're going to offer you stuff.
You know,
they're going to say you need some water, you need something.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Nobody wants to see. I mean, I know lots of guys, guy by me, Nick, they just took on a runner who was out there by himself. He just showed up in an event that he had no business being in.
Yeah.
It's called Margie. It's in the UP. And they just brought him into their group, ran the whole time with them, you know, and I'm sure their relation, you know, I'm sure it's a friendship for life kind of thing. When you do these types of things with people, it's different than, you know, pushing your kids on the swing at the park together. You're suffering together. And that's something that's, you know, it does tailor, you know, hunting's the same way, dragging a deer out, stuff together. Those bonds are stronger.
Yeah.
You know, and it isn't really a competition.
No. Yeah. No, well, it shouldn't be. Yeah. Would you ever do something like that, babe?
No.
Why not?
A running? I'm not a running.
Well, it's it's not really
I'm a hiking, walking person.
Yeah.
There's some cool hikes.
Yeah. Well, that's, I'm actually doing a hike challenge right now, trying to do 75 miles in the spring. Essentially it was March 1st to May 31st. So, and that's hard enough to get out, to find time to get to that. But, and I'm just doing trails. You have to do actual like marked trails. And I'm just doing them like around me, but so I am doing hiking, but it has nothing based on speed or anything like that. So it doesn't matter how slow you go or anything like that, but that kind of stuff.
How do you track that?
Well, I mean, it
like on our system.
Yeah. You just have a log sheet, but I use the All Trails app to track my, unless I know the trail and I've done it before, either tracked it before and I know how long it is, but if it's either a new one, or sometimes I connect a couple to get more miles in, and I'll track it on there to see how far I go, I guess. But
why do you hate running?
It's not that I don't know.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. I've never really run like long distance. I ran on my distance team in high school one season, but I was the 800 meter runner, which was okay. And I ran 1 2-mile race during that year just because our 2-miler was out and they needed someone. And we were only doing it against one other school. So they're like, if you run, no matter how slow, like you'll place and you'll get points. And I needed points for my for my jacket. So I did it.
You got to leave that part of the story.
I know, right? But that's, and then like, even since then, I think the most consecutive miles I've ever run is like four miles. I don't know. At a time that's that I can remember. So I just,
why'd you run that for?
That was just in one of my more like running phases. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was running more often. It was mostly like treadmill and outside. I've only literally done trail running once or twice.
Well, you might like it.
And I do. I did like it, but I'm like running/walking. So to me, maybe it is the same, but not really, because I'm actually a fairly fast hiker when I'm not hauling a baby on me. And I'm trying to get back to there, but I always would joke with Josh, because we go like turkey hunting or deer hunting or something, and through the woods I am slow. He's always like way ahead of me, but if you get me on a trail, like I'm usually in front. But so I enjoy it, but I don't know, running is just harder on my knees. I don't know, can't say I've ever liked it that much.
Yeah,
not enough to. Also, it's just so time consuming.
So, well, it's hiking, actually faster,
you know, like I feel like you're getting something
good. Great. Great. Great point. Hiking. Way faster, really.
Like I said,
sometimes twice
I never
as fast,
really did, right? I never really did trail running. Like for me, hiking, I'm like, I'm out there in nature. To me, I'm getting something out of it, or you're going to see a view, like we did, you know, obviously hiking out west and things like that. Like to me, it's like there's more into it, more enjoyable for me. But I haven't really attempted trail running. But to me, walking gets you
I never done any trail running until this, like the last couple of months, really.
Yeah.
And I like it. Like,
yeah,
I like it probably better than hiking. But I mean, hiking is also good, but I definitely like it better than running on the road.
Yeah.
The road's just easy because it's right out here in the front yard, you know.
You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. But we're pretty lucky where we could, because like I just go to the Jackson, Washington State Forest and run. But if you would just drive 20 minutes, you'd have, I mean, unlimited trails to run around here.
Oh, yeah. With the
Hoosier National. Yeah. And the Jackson, Washington State Forest.
Yeah.
But, Skyline Drive, there's all kinds of hiking trails through there.
Yeah,
that's even probably closer than the forestry.
I need to go.
Yeah,
I get bored of trails.
It's all hilly.
Are those maintained by is there like a club or something? Mm-hmm. I know I ran last fall. I ran on one. I don't know the name, but it was a horse trail, so it was a lot of low growth.
Yeah,
rubbing on my legs.
Yeah.
Out of Jackson, Washington Forestry, or we call it the forestry, it's Brownstown Forestry, but
they maintain those really well.
Yeah, I did the one over here that day too. That was nice.
Yeah.
They were doing a lot of construction kind of in there.
Yeah, they were building a new building. And then this winter, they were cutting down a bunch of trees and we both did a trail this last week and it is missing half of a bridge because they're redoing it. But
so they swim.
No, it's not.
It's like over a swamp.
Yeah. So it was luckily dry. It was before it started to rain this week, but
it's going to be a nasty mess out there tomorrow.
Yes, it will be tomorrow, which I think bothers you way more than, I don't know, it probably bothers you, but going that distance, I guess it would be a pain, but getting your feet wet, you cannot stand. Like,
well, if you get your feet wet, man, they can get trashed.
Yeah.
They can, but most like trail shoes have like vents and stuff, so they should dry out. It's not as big a deal.
I always think about getting getting a boot wet.
It's different.
Getting a boot wet is horrible.
Yeah. Like that is one of the biggest things. You're always like, oh, I don't go. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I remember when we were in Colorado, the trail we took to go up when he was elk hunting and I went with them. And I think it was a 7 mile hike up to where we were camping, and I don't know, within the first 100 yards, there's like
a creek crossing.
And I stomped right in it on accident. Like I didn't make it all the way. And he was I will be fine. And I was fine.
Yeah. But when you're in the backcountry for, you know, multiple days, like you're not plugging in your boot dryer at night and drying them off. Like they're wet.
Yeah. But it sucks. It was fine, but it doesn't bother me. I know. It doesn't bother me. And maybe it just didn't affect me. Like I don't tend to get blisters as easily and things like that. Like it doesn't bother me as much.
Zink, were you gonna say something?
Sorry.
Well, I was just say, like hunting, if your feet get wet, like I don't know, maybe your feet run cold, my feet run hot.
Mine get cold.
So if I don't really mind getting in, if it's cold weather running, you don't want wet feet, obviously.
Yeah.
But if it's warm,
well,
it's
fine. And that's what I mean when it's warm out, I'm obviously more cautious when it's cold. That makes more sense.
Right.
I think you should try it, Maddie. I think you would like it. And you're hiking.
It's the same thing. Why just let me hike?
No, because I know.
It's harder on your knees to run. The impact is harder to like run versus just walk. Like just let me walk.
Okay. I just thought something we could do together.
If you would just speed up your hiking speed and I slow down my running trail speed, maybe it's the same thing.
Yeah. Zank, do you like
staying out of this?
Yeah, it is what it is. Do you enjoy running a little bit because you enjoy doing, like, you find the value of doing hard things? Because a lot of people don't like running because it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I had a thought right before you said that, but
sorry.
There's two reasons. I do like challenging myself a lot, you know, with whatever it is, especially the older I get, the more I want to, like, the more I don't know how, why exactly, I guess I could try to think of why, but I like that. Let's do it, you know, let's figure it out and let's do it. And I also am a guy, I like alone time.
Yeah.
You know, I like why I like bow hunting so much, even so if I'm not in the deer, I like need to be left alone. Really, if I'm not left alone like for days on end, I need that alone time.
Yeah,
I can get it out there. That's just the way I am.
Yeah, you know?
That's how I feel with hiking, especially since I've taken it back up this spring. Like, I don't know, after having two kids and everything like that, trying to get into it more and doing it more because I just enjoy having the time out there. And I think, I don't know, I feel like maybe if I was running, I'm thinking about how hard it is and how, I don't know how much I'm in pain or whatever. But like I said, I've not really put that much effort into trying to run trails, but I do enjoy hiking. And I always have like good ideas, or, you know, that's where I tend to think of a lot of things, or like I run through things through my head more and it seems easier to think through things. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can go on autopilot a little easier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Think, you know.
Yep.
Well, I got a question for you, Josh. Mm-hmm. Why have you decided to get into running more, or the trails more?
I just there's a whole bunch of reasons. One is like just for the exercise. Like I struggle with my weight, and if I don't do something, like it'll get out of hand. Even if I eat, I can eat even fairly decent because we do eat healthy in this house, but I can still gain weight on like eating fairly healthy, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest motivator. But also I'm like kind of like you, is like I want to test my limits a little bit. I've always been like a very like competitive person in the manner of Like I played golf, which was a kind of a singular sport. Never been like a big team sport person. I mean, I played baseball when I was younger, but I always enjoyed that. Like, this is on me. Running's cheap. Like you just buy you a pair of good shoes and you're pretty much good to go.
Right.
So it's like, it was a hobby I could start that, you know, wasn't golf where I got to pay $1,500 for a membership and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I just wanted, I mean, I really do find the value. Like, I am not kidding you. I don't really look forward to starting my run every time I go. I'm always like, gosh, you know, and I find a lot of a ton of value of doing that, like getting through that part of the suck and then
like enjoying yourself it. You can do something.
Yeah. Cause I'm like you once I, cause at first I'm like, this sucks. I mean, every step I'm like, gosh, you know, and then, but then I, you know, once I get in a flow after about a mile, I'm in like a, you know, I do a lot of thinking. It's where I come up with a lot of video ideas, just reflect on life and all that. And sometimes I just don't even think about anything too, right. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, it's just like
blank out.
Yeah. That's that kind of, just,
you can, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of just all of a sudden you've ran 4 miles and you're back home or whatever, yeah. You know,
have you ever had it where like, you know, you've heard of the runner's high thing. Mm-hmm. I've noticed, I'd be curious to know even the hiker's high. But and I'm not talking.
Yeah, I know
what you do. You know, when you're hiking. But like for me, it's like I'll be done, take a shower, get cleaned up, and I just feel this like euphoric. Uh-huh. It's like I find myself doing things like whatever, being silly or whatever. I'm like, this is that great feeling that you get afterwards that you just feel like charged.
Yeah,
you
know? There has to be some type of a hormone thing going on there
or something. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the same. Like I said, it's kind of my, I guess like you, like my therapy is just kind of how I, even today I was like, just kind of overwhelmed. I was like, I'm going to go outside. Like, I just got to go outside and walk just like through our woods, just take a quick little walk. Even that helps me. And just being in nature. I know that sounds corny, but it's true for me. I just, and I will even like out front, I will just walk out barefoot just to get in the dirt, like grounding. For a little bit. Yeah. And just be just,
my mom just bought some grounding sheets.
Yeah.
They're popular now.
I just go outside, but sit in the dirt. it does. It helps me too. There is
something to it.
Yeah. It makes me feel better too. And I remember that being the same with, I remember right after I had Huck too, just having both of them in the fall, it was kind of hard because then you're kind of stuck inside all winter. Not, I mean, more than you normally would. So I struggled with that a lot more the first time around with Huck. And I remember there was a time I was like, okay, I have got to get outside. Like, I just got to go outside. And it made me feel so much better just to literally take a lap around the yard or whatever. So there's, definitely something for me too.
Bill asked if we should try mountain biking.
I have a pretty nice mountain bike. I try to get like 500 miles of mountain biking in, but mountain biking is hard. Like, I'm not talking just riding mountain bike, going on. I live near some pretty good mountain bike trails.
Yeah.
And I'll run and mountain bike about the same pace on some of them trails. Like they're brutal. So I do have a mountain bike and I do like really enjoy doing
that. What kind do you have?
A Jamus, it's called. It's not like, I'm sure if he's a hardcore guy or this Pete, he might be on there. He's really hardcore mountain biker. Yeah. I ran with him last weekend, but mine's like $1,000 mountain bike.
Okay.
You know, not 5,000.
Yeah.
You know,
cause they have like carbon ones and
mine's aluminum and it has shocks in the front, but it's good enough. Like, you took a Huffy out on them trails, that thing would come back in pieces.
Yeah.
You need something better than that, but I do like mountain bike.
I try to mix it up.
Oh yeah.
It's from 1992.
It was a good year.
It was a Facebook Marketplace pickup.
Yeah.
I bought it for like $100 and I consulted with the bike shop and he was like, yeah, dude, that was like the best back in the day. Like for, you know, that, and he fixed it up for me. I just not good with the gears and stuff, man.
Seems like, probably just takes practice, but
yeah, I'm not an expert. Mine get like misaligned slightly. Yeah, when I gotta take it in, and you gotta. you know, you got to load the bike up, which I know sounds minuscule, but it's more of a chore
than just go running.
One more step that you have to do to get.
Both my boys can bike, so we'll bike a lot around.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, the roads I live on, but
I don't
mountain biking school.
I don't think I'm coordinated enough. I'd wipe out the first route I hit. I don't know. I rode my bike like just like bicycle, like street bike, a ton when I was a kid, and so I'm like a good bicycle rider. But
yeah, you could probably do it. This is her problem. She always is like, I can't do this.
You can do it,
and she gets this in her mind. I'm like, yeah, nobody can when they first start.
You know why I do that? So I don't want to do it because that's one more thing to get a thing to do to find time. No, I don't. No, I'd rather.
I'm not necessarily just talking about biking, but it's just, I know.
No, I don't know the biking thing, like you said, because we tried to do road bikes one time. We're like, oh, we're going to try to find more stuff to like stay active, you know, outside. And we're like, oh, riding bikes. You really got to build up a butt callus.
Oh, yeah. That I did a 50-mile bike ride with my friend, and I rode my mountain bike on there's like nice trails along the lake and stuff. And my bum was hurting.
Yeah.
Well, I bought a like entry level road bike. It was like $700.
Yeah.
It's like a Giant or something like that.
Yeah, Giant. I've heard of that.
But me and one of my buddies, we did 50. It was either 30 or 50. I can't remember now. But he did it on just like a Walmart, it wasn't too rough on me because I was kind of like, those bikes are, you know,
you're working probably 30% less.
Yeah. You know, so I could kind of, I was looking at a stroll for, I mean, still a long ways, but it was pretty funny. He was rough afterwards though. He's like, I gotta get a bike like yours.
I just remember, you know, like riding a bike as a kid and even riding over gravel, like that had, and I was like, always, so I just, it would take a lot of practice for me.
Well, yeah.
And I remember like kind of went through a thing where we were riding four wheelers a bunch, and I'd get like, at first I'm real iffy about like handling it. And then I get kind of confident, and then I'm like, okay, now I'm too confident. And I like hit a thing or, you know, like,
yeah.
Or whatever. Well, yeah. You're riding four wheelers.
It's just reps. It's all just reps.
And like mountain biking, like you probably wreck sometimes.
You know? See, and that's, I'm like, I don't really want to wreck.
Especially I saw a clip. Age. I saw a clip of, I don't have any desire really to ride a mountain bike, but I saw a clip of Cameron Haynes. He must have ran a race last weekend. But man, when he got in there, he was all, I mean, he just running. He somehow got his like face all scarred up and his leg was all
from like thorns and stuff.
I think he fell a couple times.
Well, the thing is, that's another danger of the long runs. You get heavy feet and you trip on roots and stuff. And that's the reality of the long run is, you know, I fall. Everybody's going to fall.
Well, it's going to be wet tomorrow. I mean, you slip and fall tomorrow.
Yeah. You're going to fall.
Yeah. You're muddy.
I love the fall. So,
what are you doing, Huck Wayne?
Yeah. You need a snack.
This interlude brought to you by
Huck Wayne Talker.
Stealth Strips.
Pick you up some Stealth Strips at stealthoutdoors.com. What you doing, buddy? You can go help him. You can get him some grapes.
We got any more questions?
There was one for Maddie, but she just left.
Got any other runners in the audience there? Anyone got any events?
There's not a ton of people on tonight. Tim said running is not fun.
I do love the bumper sticker that says 0.0. Like, I hate running. I always laugh at that.
Zeke asks Zank, do you fuel with Rip-Its?
Rip-Its. I don't know what that is. I'm going to say no.
We watched a documentary.
I'm assuming that's probably like a military thing. I use Hobars. Maybe he remembers those.
Well, it was like some kind of protein bar or something.
Yeah, it was like a sanctioned message. Just changed the wrapper on. I think it might have been. Remember Power Bars?
Oh, yeah.
I think they just changed them when I was in Iraq. They'd have like, you know, you'd go to like a decent, when you got on a bigger base, a decent dining facility, and they'd have like stuff you could take, you know.
Yeah.
Like those were whole bars, were like a edible energy bar or like a protein bar. There's some like energy drinks and stuff that are like Oriental writing, and drank a lot of those during that tour.
Anthony, you're a big fan of quotes.
Right? Yeah, I love motivational quotes.
All right, here's you quotes. One. To live is to suffer. To survive is to find some meaning in the suffering.
Love it. I agree.
Yeah.
If you're not suffering to a degree, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I posted something. I don't have a lot of Facebook stuff, but like comfort is, I think it said something like comfort is the worst drug. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're comfortable all the time and you're not growing, like what is that really what you want?
Yeah. It's pretty sad. Like I would say the vast majority of Americans, I mean, statistically, it's probably like 80 or 90% of them. Like once they get over the age of 30, like it's like they, for some reason, life is over. And like right. you act like you can't do anything. You got to sit around, drink right. beer.
And anyone eat. That's doing something, it must be nice. Must be nice.
Yeah.
Why can't that be you?
Yeah. Yeah. How old are you now?
200. 42.
I was going to guess 40. I couldn't remember.
Thank you. Well,
you look just slightly younger than what you are.
Thank you. No, I mean, I find that, you know, troubling or sad when I, you know, where people like act like they're not capable or they're that young, say even my age, and they're just, oh, I just can't wait to retire. I can't wait to retire. Like, and do what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sit in your recliner.
And if that's what you want to do, I guess good for you.
Yeah,
I just kind of feel bad for you, you know, personally.
I know.
Because that sounds miserable to me.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I speak for myself only.
Well, I think some people, like you said, get addicted to comfort. Like you get addicted to like, I'm going to wake up at 10 a.m. I'm going to come out on my couch, drink coffee, and then put on some TV show, Jerry Springer, and watch that for 3 hours, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it's like you get addicted to that because it's, I don't know. I don't know why, but right. you do.
Or politics, you know.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have opinions just like everyone else, but I'm not going to let them dominate my headspace, you know. There's so much more important thing. I mean, it's important, the politics and stuff, but it's not so important to destroy good relationships and families. At this point, it's destroyed a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, just in our family alone, we've seen it, not, you know, just, you know, relatives not getting along because someone, you know, thinks this way about, mm-hmm. you know, Donald Trump or, you know, Biden or whatever. It's like, gosh, guys, who cares? And then I think I've said this before on this show, but like Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whoever your president is like, they're not going to fix your problems, man. You know what I mean?
It's like, day.
Yeah, no,
day. It's like you're not happy.
You got to figure your own crap out, man.
If you're not happy.
Yeah.
It's a you problem. And I would say it goes as far as like, even if you're in a relationship, if you're not happy, it's still a you problem.
Yeah.
Like if you're relying on someone else to make you happy, they can make you happier. But if you're miserable, it's not, I don't know. I just don't feel it's someone else's job to make me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do what I got to do. I'm in charge of, you know, I'm in charge of this life, my life, and I'm responsible for my happiness. If I could be miserable right now, I have plenty of reasons I could be miserable.
Sure, we all
just do. Like everyone else, but yeah. I also have plenty of reasons I'm not.
Yeah.
And I want to focus on those, you know. So that's all perspective.
And it's again, it's easier, it's more comfortable to like just let those excuses run your life or the reasons that, you know, well, the Democrats' party's in the House, we're never going to get out of my financial situation as I go and, you know, spend more credit card debt or whatever the case may be. It's like, okay, well, is that really a Democrats' problem or is that like, man, quit, you know,
living beyond your means, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, and they're supposed to save you from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll talk about it with anybody personally, but that's where it's got to be, you know,
yeah,
with personal people that are reasonable.
And don't get me wrong. Like I 100% like want the best person that is fit for the job in office, but it's like people get so dependent on those people. And I guess maybe that's like the American welfare system is just that maybe you built that expectation in people, but it's like, gosh, you know? And like, I mentioned this 3 of 7 a lot, 'cause I listen to that podcast a lot, but like they made a point on there. It's like, if you got your crap together, you shouldn't need government. Like, if in a perfect society, like there would be no government. Everybody would just be productive and, you know, take care of their own.
Ethical and moral. And
yeah. And if everybody would just get on that same page, like we wouldn't need all this crap that goes on, you know, it'd all be a big joke to everybody.
Right. Be like babysitters.
Yeah.
People that don't need them, but I don't see that day coming.
No. Like you said, though, it's because, well, you know, 90% of people are addicted to comfort.
Right.
It's weird because it sounds good on paper, helping people out, like all that. And some people genuinely do need help, like people with disabilities.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, or
hard times or whatever.
Whatever the case may be. Some things out of their control, but it's I don't know. I'd hate to actually see the statistics on the amount of those people that actually, you know, receive those benefits versus, you know, able-bodied people, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we're opening up a big wormhole that I have a lot to say about. Yeah. I'm not going to do it here.
Yeah, I know.
But hit me up in private.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked in the prison system. I haven't been everywhere, done everything, but I've worked in the prison system, been in the military, been in tons of houses doing plumbing work, whatever. I've just seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Not as much as you. I already know. You can save the comments because I know everybody has their thing, but you know, there's some big problems.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of them are created by yourself, you know? So, but some people, it ain't a fair society either.
No, not at all.
Like, so that's not what I'm saying.
No, and
I'm
like
saying if you want it bad enough, some people they start from a different position.
Yeah.
That sucks, but
yeah,
it's also reality.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, if me and you were born in a different life, you know, we maybe have a different opinion on all this, but.
Right.
It is what it is, I guess. Maddie, I mean, you grew up with, like, you weren't as privileged as me growing up, for sure. Like, I had.
Yeah, probably not. Not later on, probably.
Yeah. I kind of just threw you in this conversation, in the middle of our conversation. Just, you don't know what's going on. Yeah.
I thought she was going to bring change to the conversation.
No, I mean.
Yeah, sorry. I can get off this topic. I haven't looked at comments for probably.
Say, what's the point? What do I need to talk
about? Nothing. We were just talking about like people with different, what were we talking about?
Well, we got on to like, you know, being in charge of your life, being in charge of your own happiness. Someone, I forgot his name, shared a nice quote.
Well, and that's, I think, person to person. 'Cause if you can look at three different people in the same family, three different kids in the same family, and all three living a different life because of their perspective on how, you know, there may be one of them that, like you said, like everything is woe is me, like it's,
well,
this person's to blame, this person's blame, and then you know, the other, you know, another one may be like, well, no, it's up to me to change how I want, you know.
Or they measure, I think, of families a lot, and they measure against siblings, they measure against the other siblings.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing as well as you perceive them to be a lot of times, right, then, you know, then there's conflict.
I have realized as a parent now that we have two kids, that is hard to do, especially when you have two of the same, like, you know, two sons. It is hard to not compare, but I don't necessarily try to do it out of like one's doing something wrong or different, you know, it's more just like, for me, at least right now, it's like remembering, I don't know, like how Huck used to be. I may say like, oh, Huck, I remember you used to do something like that. Not necessarily like, oh, you did it better.
Right.
Or like anything like that. But I could see where that can be easy to do without meaning to like have any outcome from it, if that makes sense. So like you kind of have to be aware of that as a parent and not compare them in ways that could.
I think a lot of us are like products of who we hang out with too. Absolutely. If you get caught up in the wrong group of people when you're young or something. And it's super hard. It's way easier as you get older, but when you're young, it's super hard to like, cut people out of your life because you don't really know any better, or I don't know what the psychological reason is for it, but like it's hard to let go of some of those childhood friends that maybe aren't good for you, or just, you need to move on.
Just because you've been friends with them forever, you think you're supposed to be friends with them.
It's hard to rebrand.
Yeah.
When you're young and you know, like,
yeah,
these are the people I go out with and do stuff with.
Like, you're so influential.
This other group,
right? They're like, school. Where else am I supposed to go? Yeah. Like,
who are you? Especially if they're from Waupun.
Yeah. It's a local joke.
No, it's just every time we went over, every time I went to a pond, they always wanted to fight.
Oh, really? That's funny. I don't know where the fights would go on around here. I didn't grow up around here.
No.
I know there's some interesting people at the gas station the first year we came down.
Yeah. Yeah. You got haze again. I was lucky in high school that I got to hang out. Me and my buddy Alex and Michael and Tyler. We never got into the partying or any of that stuff. Like, we just were addicted to hunting. Like, that's all we did.
That's nice.
We had coon dogs. We had, we deer hunted. We shot bows. And that was our thing, man.
Not me.
Yeah. That's just how it worked out,
Yeah, no, I had growing up, I was raised by just my dad, my brother and I, but we always got tight with like the neighbors. So they would take us fishing a lot. And then my brother and I's friend, he had a bait shop. So I was over there, like we were out seining minnows, counting crawlers, and I'd work at the bait shop. Then high school, we moved. So I got taken away from that.
Gotcha.
And then I don't know. I got two underages in high school, and I didn't drink that much though. I just was unlucky.
Yeah.
And stupid.
Right.
I always say unlucky, I was stupid. So, but that kind of like just led me to not really drinking was not that. I definitely in my early 20s was pretty much an idiot, but like now I just don't. Drinking it's okay. I like to relax a little and have a drink or something, but I could give it up no problem.
Yeah. I haven't drank for a long time now. But when I do, like whenever I like, but we got in a little habit of like having a drink pretty often, just like one, but dude, even just one drink it affects you. Like I would wake up a little bit like, just you didn't sleep as good or something. All and right. I mean,
well, if let's just say you're 10% worse every morning.
Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. For me, I wake up at 4:50 every morning, go to the gym.
Yeah.
Now I skip a day. Then it's 2 days. It's
three days, then all of a sudden
you're like, well, what's going on with me?
Yeah.
Must be politics. No, I'm being lazy and I'm making dumb choices that aren't like really helping me fulfill my goals,
Yeah.
Even though I want to relax.
Are you a goal setter? Do you set goals for yourself?
I do, but I also, I don't do like the, I don't know. I like to have something I'm working towards always. That's why I don't like.
No, I don't care.
I'll have, I definitely have goals. So for sure. I don't know that I do like follow all the right criteria.
You don't like
measurable.
You don't like write them down. And
sometimes I will. I have at work. I've had me and my staff write down our goals sometimes on a big board, but
like for work goals or what?
Work or personal, whatever you're comfortable with. But I do like to have strong. I've always say I don't do good in neutral.
Yeah.
I'm up or I'm down, and I like to spend less time down, but I need to be going a direction. I'm miserable going nowhere. I mean, you both talked to me when I was going nowhere a couple years ago. I'm really worthless in that scenario. I have to get traction and go.
No, I am. Direction. I am too.
So I need,
if I get stuck, like, I mean, that's one reason I like working for myself. Cause like, if I get to where I'm just kind of, like you said, floating.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's hard being your own boss too, but.
Right. But
just the hard part about being your own boss or having your own company is the time thing, you know.
Yeah.
You're doing what you love, and it's a lot of work to build a little business,
right?
And you got to probably spend more time on it than you do working for, you know, some corporate company that, you know, don't really care what you do as long as you show up,
right? Everything's
okay,
and
yeah,
not making any waves.
That's but like as far as your time goes, it's like, yeah. I don't know. I probably have less time now than before. Maybe not. I don't know. My job is a little bit weird because I can kind of incorporate some of my time into my job, you know, family time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm not very good at setting goals. I've never been like a big goal setter.
Well, I think it goes back to like what you said about the company you keep, you know?
So
like, I have like, you know, like you and Gary and Global and Tim and Eric, like, okay, so that's like my hunting tribe, you know, and we're always, even though we don't even hunt together that much, but you're kind of like reporting to each other and pushing each other. And then I have a group that's like the more of my, like my running friends.
Yeah.
And we always have, you know, runs going on. And so it's like, there's goals that way, you know, like with my, I'm always, well, the last 3, 4, 5 years, I've gone somewhere to run an event. Well, so I have to train. I don't want to make a fool out of myself in front of those guys at an event or hunting, you know. I want to be successful, so I have to put in some time doing that. And so I don't know if they're like traditional goals like that. They're just like you're in these communities and you have kind of either a reputation or – you don't want to let other people down, you know, and you want to, sometimes you're the motivated and sometimes you're the motivator, you know, like, especially like the hunting, you know, plenty of guys in our circle, you know, they, you know, their target deer got shot. You got to let them know there's more deer out there.
Yeah.
Or we got to pick each other up. And, so that's where I'm at this year. I've been more into like weightlifting and stuff like that. But then you know, I have a couple guys that I don't really work out with anyone particularly, but you talk about it and you're trying to get to certain numbers.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get up to 135 bench for a while. Why is that funny?
It's not. I hope you make it.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a blessed person right now. I'm in a really good spot in life, and I like enjoying it. I'm trying to share that and bring people up.
Yeah, a lot of people need bringing up.
Oh yeah,
they can't hear you. I know. I'm just telling you. Oh yeah, I know. I just was making sure you knew that you're going to say something.
Nope, I just said oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how tomorrow goes.
It'll be fun, irregardless. Is that a word now?
Irregardless.
Irregardless, that's the proper use.
I don't know. I still say
regardless. Don't ask me.
It's probably wrong, but.
Hank?
Yeah. I need to get a better team around my workout thing. Like when I was younger, I had a really good core group of friends that worked out hard.
All the time,
All the time. And we pushed each other. And now I don't have anybody. It's just me in the garage. You with running, you know, but. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard whenever you don't have some people around you. You're right. Mm-hmm. I never thought about that with my working out, but when I lived in Wabash, when you're in Northern Indiana and up in Huntington, when I was going to college, like we always had, I mean, that was a thing we did together as friends was work out, you know?
Well, we had a little thing going, was it between Chris Thanksgiving and
yeah.
through the end of the year where we were kind of all just doing like just some basics.
Just like push-ups,
like body squats. Weight stuff. And, yeah. And we all did it for a couple months.
Yeah.
You know, and that definitely helped. I mean,
yeah.
It didn't get me to 135, but
yeah,
I feel like it got me to 100.
Got you through the holidays.
Yeah. I mean, that, but just think though, I mean, that just as it couldn't happen.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't making us worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, but that's just a little example of having that accountability.
Yeah,
you know, because I know if I would skip a day or two, I'd start to be like, "Oh, dang!" And then everyone else is reporting in. It's like, I better make some time today.
Yeah, yeah. Something else that we can wrap it up here pretty soon, but something else that I'm like trying to be conscious of is like watching my mouth, especially with little ones, you know. And I'm not inherently a cusser, but dude, whenever you're around someone that cusses a lot, that crap runs off on
inner sailor comes out.
Yeah.
But you notice it more too when you're not around someone that does, and then you get around someone.
Yeah. Like, there's been certain people that I've, you know, talked to a lot that like the F word comes out of their mouth about every three or four words, you know.
I think,
and then it's like, but that does like the way people talk rubs off on you.
I think though we're more not so much about cussing and stuff, but talking negatively about things and ourselves.
I'm bad about negative talk to myself about myself.
To not say that out loud, like you shouldn't say it in your mind either, but for sure don't say it out loud, and then for sure don't say it so the kids can hear you, because we don't want them to gain that kind of thought
process. I'm pretty hard on myself sometimes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
pushing yourself and then just berating yourself are two different things, and just making sure you're not
doing but
too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to put my thoughts together right now, but sometimes you're a fat slob and you need to be told that, you know.
Well, it'd be something with slapped with a little truth sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But doing it too much.
Sure.
No.
I think it's saying that, not changing it. Like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's a way you can say things too that just seem more like you're setting a goal and not like you're just like, oh, I'm a fat slob.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not a fan of
sugarcoating. I'm going to do this, that, and the other, or whatever. No, not. I'm not saying that. But I think it's more that like saying something without action, or at least having a plan of action.
Yeah. I think my biggest fear in life is like messing up my kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm pretty hard on myself. Like,
I think
I just don't want them to, I don't want to, you know, like, I think me and you talk about this maybe on here, even like your kids are a reflection of you, whether that's good or bad.
Yes.
And, man, I just, yeah.
Oh yeah. My kids are a little older than yours.
Yeah.
And yeah, when they yell at you and you think about it and you're like, oh, like, who taught you that? It's like,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it really hits you hard on how you or ultimatums, you know. That's a dangerous one with kids when you're like, you do this or that. And then they do the same to you, and you taught them how to do that.
Yeah.
So it's definitely challenging.
Yeah. And it's hard because like ultimatums work with kids too.
They work. They do work.
Yeah.
And like when you can't be mad at them when they do exactly what you
did. Oh, yeah. Huck's real bad about that. He's like,
here's the deal.
And he says that, let's make a deal. And I'm like, and his deals are always like way lopsided to his favor. Like,
I win or you lose.
Yeah. His deal will be like, here's the deal. We go and get ice cream, or
we watch a movie.
Or we watch a movie and stay up late. I'm like, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal on your end, buddy.
Yeah.
But he sure has gotten that from us.
Well, just the wording. I mean, you say, here's the deal.
Most things are my fault, if you guys haven't.
No, I'm just saying, you say, here's the deal. I'm sure I make deals with him as well. I'm just saying. What's you don't have them one-sided. Oh, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure if we listen to Huck, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you will.
He said some pretty funny things today.
Oh yeah,
hilarious.
Plumbers don't cry.
Yeah,
not allowed to cry today.
It was hilarious.
He was real intrigued by
that was hilarious. hilarious.
Zank being a plumber.
I loved it. No, that's cool.
He learned something, though. He was saying in the bath, I don't know. I didn't learn anything. Obviously, I don't remember what he said now, but he was saying, he's like, yeah, because of something, something, something. I'm like, oh, yeah.
He was intrigued. He asked a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. You want to touch those buttons.
He liked to, he talked a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot.
He's good at that.
Yeah, he's chatty.
He gets that for me. That's what he gets from me.
Oh, okay.
Just the talking constantly. I'm pretty good at that too.
But yeah. No, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
It's me too.
Nice weather. Hopefully no more rain here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming down and doing it with me.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to run some new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long since I've been there that it's gonna be new to me too.
From what I remember, it was I enjoyed it, I remember.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a nice area.
I'm excited to push myself tomorrow. I'm excited to have some pain.
Yeah. Pain's a good thing.
It's going to feel good when we're sitting here tomorrow night, you know. It's going to feel good.
Yep.
It'll feel good and bad at the same time.
Right? Well, yeah, there's that. But the pain will go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm planning a delicious meatloaf for you, so something to look forward to.
Ooh, yeah.
If I remember.
Yeah. There's a powerful quote about, what is it, the pain of today is less than tomorrow's regret, or the pain of tomorrow's regrets of not pushing it, you know what I mean? So
what do you want to say?
Pain is weakness leaving the body.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So get after it.
Yep. Oh shoot. We gotta answer questions. I think it may just be one, but
probably Zach, a couple hundred.
Zach.
Is that Zach Morris?
He says, keep up the good work, Josh. Thanks, dude. No. He says, question for you and your wife. How do you both balance household duties during hunting season? Any Wisconsin hunting plans? Yeah, I'll probably go up there to Wisconsin in early season again. And hunt with Zank and Gary and Eric and Global will come down. Tim, maybe. I don't know. Tim doesn't usually come down then.
No.
How household?
You let it go. No. You just let it be half as good as what it normally is and be okay with that. Let the kitchen be a little dirtier than normal.
Yeah, that's okay. I always am on kitchen duty. Yes. She doesn't do much in the kitchen.
I do all the cooking.
Cleaning wise, I mean.
And the meal planning and the grocery shopping.
And I mean, the cleaning. Loaf clean, and cleaning and wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just, I'm not very good at picking up after myself, but I think if you can just get good at doing that.
Well, and if you're not here because you're hunting, then you can't make a mess.
Yeah, good point.
That's true. That tracks.
Technically, it wouldn't be, if you're not there, it's not really your fault.
Yeah.
No, man. I mean, that's a tough one that you have to work out with your significant other.
When it boils down to the same thing, communicate.
Yeah.
Kind of understand maybe some roles.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets even harder whenever you got a 4-year-old and a, you know, because they make a mess. Yeah. I don't know what age they can start cleaning up, but he's a struggle. It's a struggle with him right now. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you get it picked up, and you can tell he likes when it's clean and open.
Yeah, he loves it.
He gets so excited.
Yeah.
But then the first thing he wants to do is grab something to play and then like bring it all. And you're like, okay, once you get that out, you got to put it away. And I guess we're not very good about staying on the top of the putting it away, but.
That probably didn't help you at all.
No.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we
can. I will say just don't go too long in between the communications, because that's when it can get like, especially if something changes. So like hunting season starts.
Yeah, people,
even between like trips or whatever, if you're going to be gone a long time, make sure you guys communicate what's going on. Or expectations.
Yeah. And contrary to popular belief, like neither one of you can read each other's minds.
No.
Like it's, if you don't speak it out, you know, don't expect anything.
That means speaking what you need, but speaking also like appreciation for what the other person does.
Yeah.
That goes further than what you realize. Don't go too far in between or too long without saying that.
Yep. Is there anything else?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe that helped you, man. I think at the end of the day, like, it's like relationships are hard.
Yeah.
You're probably getting some fights over it. I don't think we got much else. Apple cinnamon hoo-ah bars were good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
See? He knows. Is that Zeke?
Yeah.
I don't remember all the flavors. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Bill will ask if we do any rucking. I used to be real big into that.
I
hauling a pack on your back.
It's just weighted frame pack kind of thing. I will. I mean, I've done it. I don't do it. I've talked about with some of my friends of doing like an overnight. I mean, my ruck is now, you know, Badlands 330. Whatever. So, but I enjoy that too. I really like the roughing it, you know, go hike for 5-6 hours, build a fire, make some food. I get into that, but again, I don't want to do it alone. I don't really like that. I don't really like doing alone.
Yeah. Right.
I want to have a couple people with, and you sit down and talk and cook some food.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that kind of stuff too. We talked about when we were in Montana, this whatever, I guess it'd be almost two summers ago now. So we were doing like day hikes and trying to get to a certain point and get home at a certain, not home at a certain time, but just get out at a decent time because we had Huck. And if we go do something like that again, we talked about doing like an overnight, like packing out, you know, so you can kind of mosey your way and not really have to rush, and then just sleep overnight somewhere, just an overnight, and then hike back out. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. I'd like to do more of it, but.
Yeah.
It's fun. Rucking is fun.
Yeah, it's when I got in really good shape a handful of years ago, that's what I was primarily doing was rucking.
You're prepping for
elk hunting. Elk hunting.
Yep.
I think it's one of the things a lot of people exaggerate how much weight they're actually carrying, though. Yeah. You put 50 pounds in a bag.
Yeah.
Walk around with it. That's a lot of weight.
I mainly carried 20. Well, I think when we did that adventure trail, I had 20. Or maybe that was in Colorado, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but you carry it X amount of miles up a mountain and it's a lot for.
Oh, yeah.
I carried a 50 pound slam bag, is what I always had in it.
Yeah.
That's a load on your back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's one of those. If you're not wearing it right, you got a sloppy thing. That's gonna mess you up.
If you're just a full grown man, you'd be all right. But
yeah.
Well, I noticed that now. I haul him on my hikes and stuff, and he's getting heavy. And if I don't. Yeah, my back.
Dang, my hair been messed up this whole time?
Yes. It's been sticking up. I just assume you're going for that.
That's the look now.
Yeah, it is.
I'm in my Jamie, so I didn't want you looking too good. Yeah.
I did. I used to have horrible dry scalp. Got some new shampoo and it took care of it. Happiest I've been for Pertz a long time.
Plus or what?
Huh?
No, Pertz Plus? Like
I don't know. It was $30 for a bottle of it, though.
Dang.
Yeah.
So an empty wallet cures dry
scalp. I bought that in TSS the same week. I was broke.
Oh, so. Wow.
No.
I actually quit washing my hair as much. You know, like showering. I shower a lot, but I'm not going to, I don't shampoo. Yeah. Like,
I've been doing what the bottle on it says to like every fourth day use it.
Yeah. I think.
And I've been doing that.
That's like overdoes it on your skin a lot. You
know? Probably.
Yeah, like if you're just like. Going crazy. Oh, yeah, I see why you need it.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll probably hop on here tomorrow night for a little bit and let you know how everything went. Thanks everybody for watching. And we will
thank you.
Talk to you later. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye now.